Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts 1, 8. Dear Heavenly Father, we just enter into the presence of Your Word. We ask that Your Word bears witness with us in such a way that we're not hearers only, but also doers. And I thank You for what You have laid on my heart, and I thank You for what we as a church have to look forward to for a world that is dying. Lord Jesus, I really have a witness in my spirit that You are coming soon. I do have that witness. And I think right now, Father, all of us must be very careful that if we have that witness, to follow through to it in its trueness of form, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. This is our foundational scripture for what we're talking on. Our foundational scripture for what we're talking on. We're speaking on being role models. Are we a good role model? Are we a good witness? Here he says, Jesus gave instructions to the disciples, and he said, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." Actually, the word witnesses is actually my witnesses. You will be my witnesses. We brought out last week that every one of us is called to be a witness. Every single one of us is called to be a witness. Now, the uniqueness from the Old Testament to the New Testament, the uniqueness of that is they were given the law in the Old Testament, and the law was applied to the body of flesh. And the reason that the law was applied to the physical being is because they had no spiritual life in them. In other words, they were not born from above. They were not born again. And so in the Old Testament, God dealt with mankind according to the physical man and not according to the spirit of His Son, because they had not received it yet. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you following? Now, we didn't get Jesus' spirit, but we got a spirit fashioned after the likeness of His. How many understand what I'm talking about? Because He was the firstborn. And so, the law then governed man physically. Now, most of us have been taught that because we got born again, we were released from the law. You see, and most of the teaching, some of the scriptures would kind of indicate that. That we're free of the law. Once we get born again, we're not of the Old Testament, but we're of the New Testament. And therefore, the law is no longer an issue for us. If you will, let's go to Romans chapter 8, real quick line. Romans chapter 8. And I love Romans chapter 8 because Romans chapter 8 literally gives us an answer to what was previously said from chapter 1 of Romans up to chapter 8. And when you get through and you study all them scriptures, we were talking about the body of death. We were covering on Wednesday evening the origin of the carnal mind. Where did it originate, or where did it come from? And then, of course, we know where it came from. It came from Adam at the fall. He inherited the carnal mind. The carnal mind is governed by the senses, or ruled by it. And any time you and I, as a spiritual being, New Testament, every time you and I step forward to live according to faith rather than sight, this carnal mind has a voice. It's in all of us because we possess it. And we possess this carnal mind as a result of the fall. Now, in Romans chapter 8, when we understand what it was said in Romans chapter 7, that the nature of death that is within the members of our physical being, our physical body is the very thing that Satan capitalizes on to bring us to a place of deception. We covered the issue of the body in detail and the hopelessness of the physical being and how God doesn't even want it any longer. It has to be changed. It can't even inherit the kingdom of God. And we covered the fact of how the carnal mind not only works in conjunction against the kingdom of God, but it works in conjunction against you on the inward person. We've been covering the fact of how the mind, if it is not renovated or changed in the way that it thinks, then it doesn't have, you don't have a chance to really bear the completeness of the fruit that God would intend you to bear for success in your life. Now, I am of a firm opinion that this nation is blessed above all nations on planet Earth. Are you guys in agreement with that? We are really blessed. Now, I am of the firm opinion the most cursed nation on planet Earth is the nation of Israel. I know that shocks a lot of you because we hear so much on TV how blessed that nation is. But listen, if we want to know what being cursed is like, to this very day, you as the head of the family unit, you have to sport or carry an AK-47 on your shoulder. And you have to be alert at all times for what could happen. And see, we as an American, wouldn't it be funny if we started carrying AK-47s on our shoulder? What if every square foot that we desire to possess, we fought it with our life? Would you say we were blessed or cursed? I've been to that nation. Somebody said they were there and, oh, they felt the presence of God. I was there and I felt the oppression of the devil. I mean, the streets are filthy. Every time you turn, even when John and I were there was a big explosion, and on CNN, they had our bus when we went by it. And they had military men killing death all the time. If you ever run across a book called The Best Kept Secret on Planet Earth, don't read it. It's full of trash. I'm being open about it. Because it tells us how this nation is so cursed because we did so wrong to the Jewish nation. People, the Jewish nation did the ultimate wrong they could possibly do with themselves. And that is the fact they reject Jesus. Don't even see him or have a relationship with him. That nation became an evil servant, and the one talent that God could trust him with, they buried it. And that was Jesus. And so Jesus brags upon the fact that good stewardship that follows him, he can give more to them. Isaiah saith, there is nations that see him and receive him that even the nation of Israel could not see, and thus provoked him to jealousy. People, I got good news for you. We are blessed. Me standing here on the pulpit openly, having the ability now to even air on television the fact that our Redeemer has really blessed us as a nation, and I can do it openly, and the government won't stop me. We can go home to our houses, and we can have all the comforts of home because God has blessed this nation, because it has declared witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You can't not deny it. We are a nation under God. Now, I know that a whole lot of you are thinking, no, we're not. Oh, no, we're not. We're under Obama. I don't care whether we're under Obama, under Bush, I don't care who we're under. We're still a blessed nation. We are still a blessed nation. We can determine our destiny, and the Word of God can work for us. All we have to do is apply it. Well, we're losing our rights. Amen, hallelujah. Well, how can you say amen, hallelujah? Our redemption for our physical being is drawing closer. I heard on the radio the other day, oh, here it goes. Now they're starting to rise up against Christmas. Here it goes. And I said, yes. It shows our society is going out of God. And, well, why should I be happy about that? Our redemption is drawing close. Woo! But in the meantime, we have to occupy, don't we? We do. We have to occupy. And we have to be the best witness we can possibly be. Amen. Now, the beautiful thing about it is God gave us all equal terms to be a good witness. It's called Holy Ghost. So we have the Holy Spirit within all of us. And that's what Jesus said in Acts chapter 1. He says, after you receive the witness of the Holy Spirit, you're going to be my witness in all the earth. And the word witness is martyr. Martyr. That's where we get the word martyr. It means it's going to cost you your life. Now, what he was referring to in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, was not referring to going to the arena and dying for the Lord. That's not what he had in mind there. What he was saying is that you'll put to death within you the body of flesh so that the glory of Christ can illuminate out through you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 covers that. But many of us make wrong choices. But I got news for you. How many of you really believe, even though the law was done away with through the body of flesh, because Romans says the body of flesh had no strength, it was powerless to perform the law, because when the righteousness of the law was made manifest, they didn't know that they had a nature of death within the body, that the body automatically rose against the righteousness of the law. And so that's why Paul ends up at the end of the chapter of Romans 7, oh, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thank God through our Lord Jesus Christ we have been delivered from it. Why? Because Jesus did something for us so we can have spiritual identity. He put our physical man in the declaration of death on the cross. You owe your body nothing. You owe it nothing. The only thing that the body owes you is your authority. Can I hear an amen? Now I want you to notice two verses in Romans 8. And I'm going to read it to you out of my Greek text. In verse 3 he says, for the impossible thing of the law. Boy, we found out what that was, didn't we, when we studied Romans chapter 7 in detail. What is the impossible thing of the law? That the law in the Old Testament had to be performed through the body of flesh. Now notice this. In which it was weak. Boy, what a mousy translation there. I call it one of them puffs things. It had no punch to it. But in the Greek it has punch. It means in which it was powerless and had no strength. What? Through the flesh. But God, sending the Son of Himself in the likeness of flesh and of sin and concerning sin, judged sin in the flesh. How? Put it on the cross and let the body die. He let His physical body die. And what did He do? He raised it the third day, and it was glorified. Now, notice this. In order that, are you ready? In order that the ordinance of the law, the ordinance of the law, you know what that's referring to? The Ten Commandments. That is the ordinance of the law. Now notice this, that the ordinance of the law may be fulfilled in us, the ones not according to flesh walking, but according to the Spirit. So you know what it's saying? It's saying the law can be filled in us through the law of the Spirit of Christ, but it can't be fulfilled through the body of flesh. That's why Jesus hates religious people. Why? Because they try to appease God through the works of their flesh when God had declared it on the cross, graveyard material. Now, what is it about your body God would go to get any glorification out of it except you surrender it to God and God can use it for His glory? Now, notice it says the ordinance of the law can be fulfilled in us. Well, that's a very interesting statement. The ordinance of the law. I had one lady come to me. If you want a witness, it was she emanated the worst witness on planet Earth for the Lord Jesus. And she finally came to me and said, I am been found holy and sanctified in the Lord, and I'm free of sin. Whew. I would have liked a little better testimony from her before she said that out of her mouth. Because you know what? She could give me no witness whatsoever of any light. Because her mouth was saying one thing, but her walk was something else. Oh, I'm sorry. Now, many believers, notice it said, we fulfill the ordinance of the law through our inner man. Through our inner man. Have you guys ever studied the ordinance of the law? You know what we call them? Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments. Well, Romans 8 says we can fulfill the ordinance of the law, the Ten Commandments, through our inner man. Yeah, it works with the issue of the heart. Now, are you ready for this? Many believers, including moi, always thought that bearing false witness is telling a lie in a court of law only. Anybody got a pen around here we can drop on the floor? Many, including me, many of us thought one of the ordinances, the commandments, was bearing false witness, because that's one of the ordinances of the commandment. Can I hear an amen? Here's how I looked at that. If I was ever called into a court of law, boy, make sure I don't lie, because I'd be bearing false witness. This word false witness is a very interesting statement. If we think bearing false witness is telling a lie in the court of law only, we're men and women most deceived. That is not what bearing false witness is all about. That is only a minute portion of it. Are you following me? It's only a little teeny speck compared to the full spectrum of that bearing false witness. Romans 13:9. Let's go there and let's look at Romans 13:9 before we move on here. Romans 13:9 says this, for the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. Boy, this is in some mighty friendly company, wouldn't you say? Here's another one. You shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, we're all summed up in this saying. Namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Hello? Love is the fulfillment of the law. Love is the fulfillment, the completeness of the Ten Commandments. Now, we're talking about role modeling here. We're talking about being a good role model. Being a good role model means that we continue to influence others about the witness of the true witness, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I hear?
Amen.
Amen. So it says here, you shall not bear false witness. The word false witness means an untrue testifier. It means literally someone, the Greek word is actually a compilation of two words, literally means erroneous witness. An erroneous witness. I thought it was very interesting. You get over into the little epistles and it says, if the house of God cannot even begin to be judged, then where will the unbeliever and the disobedience be? And actually, some of your translations, if the righteous are scarcely saved, it wasn't referring to salvation, it was referring to correction. You have to read it in light of the text. And so if the righteous are just barely being able to be corrected by Jesus, then where are the unbelievers and sinners going to be? So I got news for you. Being a good witness in your life is important to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're not a good witness, then you're bearing a false witness. You're better off not even bearing any witness at all until you get your witness right. One thing you got to be careful of. If you're going to judge the world for any wrongdoing, make sure you're not doing it neither. Because they'll turn and render you with your righteousness. Bearing false witness. You'll find this in Mark 10:19, Matthew 19:18, and Luke 18:20, where Jesus literally says, do not bear false witness. Matter of fact, in one place he goes on to say, in Luke 10:32, or Matthew 10:32, and Luke 12:8, he literally says, you have to be careful that you confess me before men, because if you bear a false witness before men, neither will I bear a good witness to you, to my Heavenly Father. In other words, God could sit there in the form of intercession saying, buddy, if you're doing what you're doing, I can't help you. Now, we don't like these kind of messages, but Jesus told me in one epistle, he says, if you preach this kind of message, you're a good minister of the gospel. Now, listen, our lives are not going to be perfect. How many of you know that? We're going to make some kind of mouthy mistake, or a walk mistake, or a doing mistake. And the sad part about it is we got people that are easily offended. You know what an offended person? You know how you can tell whether you're an offendable person or not? You will think things that you have not heard nor seen yet. It'll all be floating around in your brain. That means you're weak in your conscience and you're an offendable person. And I found that some Christians, you just have to walk on eggshells around them. Why? Do you do the wrong thing and say the wrong thing? Some vanity will go off in their thinking and they'll start thinking weird things. That's why our witness is important. Our witness is important. Now listen to me. Our witness is important because people that was around me, I found to have the same influence of me that I did not like in me. And when I caught that one day, I said, my gosh, wow, how did they pick that witness up of me? And then God just took me to my action. I said, I don't want that in men. He says, if we don't correct this behavior in us, we will continue to influence others and the place those and place those in a negative witness to spiral downward. Listen, if you don't deal with your witness and bring it up to par, and you're bearing false witness, then what you say don't mean nothing to those who really know you. Now, I want to tell you something. Your friends and your family and your children will take on the same patterns if you're not careful. I'm sorry you all came Sunday morning and hearing a message like this. If it really does bother you, praise the Lord. I'm preaching right at you. The word confess is a very interesting word. It literally means to confess me before men. And do you know what that's saying? It's not saying what you mouth. Talk's cheap. This word is a unique word in the Greek. It is the word. It's a compound word. It's two words brought together. It's the word homologio. It literally means homo, where we get homosexuality. It means same sex or the same kind. And this word, confess me before men, literally means, confess me before men, not mean. Literally means to speak the same thing or to confess by admitting oneself to the Word of God. There are some people, well, they start preaching the Word of God to me, and their witness is so poor. Do you know what it does to me? It turns me off. It just turns me off. I'm not impressed one bit. But if their actions line up with what they preach, then I'll pay attention. We got one of the churches that had that, and Jesus said about that. Now, now that you're all so happy about that so much so far, I want to bring you to your attention about something. We did a teaching, it's been a little while, but we were talking on family, children. I have found that the same witness you find in the parents, you find in the children. The same witness. If you are careless with your witness before the church, your children will be careless in their witness in the church. Goes with territory. Isn't that funny how that influences people? Remember when I was sharing with the young people, one of the younger persons came up to me and said, you know, Pastor, I had this person set on this high pedestal and found that they made a mistake and brought them down. And then I found that I then brought my own witness down to their witness. It was like an excuse for me to then be. Notice your friends around you. Are they in church with you or are they absent? Well, how often are you in church? See, when you're a leader and you're responsible for the kingdom of God as a witness to other people, it doesn't matter whether it's church, it doesn't matter whether it's at home, it doesn't matter whether it's on the job, you influence people when you say Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. You immediately bear witness to His witness. Now, I brought this up for us to go over to Revelations again. And I want us to cover something that's very interesting. I love all of our Bible translations, but I'll tell you what. I sure like going back to the original witness, the original letters, because it lets you know something. Now, in Revelations chapter 1, I want you to go to a very interesting verse. I want you to go to verse 4 here. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from Him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before His throne, and Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, notice this, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, underline that, faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Now notice that verse 5, can you all agree right here real clearly? Watch this. Would that not be talking about the witness of Jesus Christ, that verse? How could you deny that? Now notice the word Jesus Christ. This is a very interesting how it's used in Scripture. And what he's declaring right off the bat in verse 5, and that Jesus Christ is the faithful witness. Can I hear an amen? Amen. I want you to jump down to verse 9. Verse 9. Get a little insight here. I, John, both your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, say Jesus Christ, was on the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. You know, I think it's very interesting. Our translators, one who translate from the original over into English, you know what? Sometimes those translators just don't get the impact of what was first really said. And did you know that this verse is not really translated that way? Here it is. I, John, both your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the isle that is called Patmos, number one, on the account of the word. Number one, on account of the word. That's what it says in the Greek. On account of the word. On account of the word. In other words, I, John, have been placed on this isle on account of the word. On account of the word. And guess what? It goes on to say, number two, and the witness of Jesus. And the witness of Jesus. He didn't put Christ after the word Jesus. And guess what? This verse has the article in front of the word witness. When I was reading the tense of this, I went into shock because he was not now talking about the witness of Jesus Christ. He said, I was called on the Isle of Patmos. I'm going to have to start writing down something. And one of the things is, of the faithful witness of Jesus Christ, the incarnation. In other words, humanity and deity together who has a faithful witness. Follow me real close here. This is where our translator didn't get the original, what it was trying to say here. He's saying, John, the beloved, says, there's two reasons why I'm here. Number one, he says, on account of the Word of God. And number two, on account of the witness of Jesus. And the word Jesus without Christ attached to it is referring to his humanity. And it says, the witness of Jesus, not Jesus Christ, the witness of Jesus, his humanity, which that verse is saying is that John has called to write some things down because of the witness of the humanity of Jesus that's found in these seven churches. That's not good. He already declared the faithful witness of Jesus in verse 5, but in verse 9 he's saying, I got to do some writing down here because of two things, on the account of the word, and number two, the witness that is being transmitted on the person of Jesus. Jesus alone without Christ is his humanity. Jesus Christ is humanity and deity combined. The translator should have left out the word Christ there and put Jesus, and because it has the article before the witness, he's deferring not to the witness of the person of Jesus, to the witness of the church for the sake of the word. How many of you got what I just said? It puts a whole different meaning on what was said. Now, what kind of witness is he referring to here? Well, let's look at the loveless church. What witness did the loveless church give? They left their early love. First love is how the translator put it. It's early love. In other words, you started out on fire, you got cold. Now, that is the first witness they had. But did you know the rest of the witness of the church? Par excellent. Which shows me, I don't care how perfect you are before Him. If you don't have a fire burning in your heart for Him, He wants the fire more than your works. He wants your heart. So what did He say? He says, repent, or I'll remove your ability to give light. In other words, if your witness is not out of a fire burning in your heart for Jesus, then when you try to witness to others, you won't be able to transfer that light, because they'll know your witness more than what comes out of your mouth. Mm-hmm. Oops. Mm-hmm. Whew. What about the persecuted church? He told them, do not fear, even until death. I'll keep you from the second death. In other words, if it's going to cost you your life, don't fear that, for you will have life again. Yeah. You'll have the crown of life, eternal life. And what about the compromising church? Oh, this is a bad one. They were not able to separate their witness from the world. Why? They were in bad doctrine. They were morally decayed, and they were very worldly as believers. And you know what God told them? He says, if you repent of this, I will give you special insight to the Word of God. So people who are like this, they compromise. They get into wrong, bad doctrine and everything. Guess what? These people rob themselves of the ability of special enlightenment from the Holy Spirit. They never get deep in anything. They never really discover Him. They know about Him, but never discover Him or His heart. Then there's the corrupt church. What was their witness like? They were not careful about who they fellowshiped with. They just fellowship with anybody, except everything. You know something? There are some people I won't fellowship with because they have a horrible witness, and I don't want to be associated with the bad witness. I don't mind being with the person. It's a bad witness. And these people hook up with anybody. They were not careful on their fellowship. Paul taught about that in 1 Corinthians 6. Be careful of who you fellowship with that continually want to live like the world. Now notice this. He says, and I never picked this up until as I was studying the Greek. Here's what he said to them. He said, if you don't do something about your actions, I never saw this before until I understood it in the Greek. He says, if you don't deal with your compromising situation, he says, when it comes to millennial kingdom, he says, you will not be given a place of rule. You will go into a lower form of position. You won't rule the nations with me. You won't be given a position of rule. If you compromise here, there's no use having you there. You know, Paul said, if you don't know how to administrate things here, how are you going to administrate angels there? Rule, but that's the wrong word. It's administrate. How are you going to be given the right to administrate something there? Now notice this. Here's another one. The dead church. This was a church I told you last Sunday that had no witness. They were not born again. And you know what he said about this church? He said some of them were saved. The leaders were saved. He had the spirit of the pastor. He was saved. But the pastor wasn't doing his job making sure everybody else gets born again under him. And as a result, he says, here, he says to the ones that are not born again, he says, you better repent or you won't make it. You know, people are going to churches not born again. Guess what? They don't make it.
Well, I know some people go to Mormon churches. And they love Jesus.
Well, I don't care what title you put on somebody. If they love Jesus and they're hooked up and they're born again from above, they'll make it. Now notice this. Oh, we got the faithful church. Well, we taught about rapture. In the faithful church, you know what they're taught? They're taught the promise of the catching away from tribulation or the wrath to come.
Right.
You people are so faithful, you're going to go in the rapture. Guaranteed. You'll make it. Whew. Guess what? That's good news. If you believe in the rapture. If you don't, you're going to be surprised. You'll go anyway. It's not up to you whether the rapture exists or not. Now, what about the lukewarm church? They lose their witness. Boy, they've lost it with me today. It is a church that promotes material wealth, the love of this world before spiritual growth. They promote wealth as gain. And this is where Jesus said, I will place myself outside the witness of that church and bang on the door, encouraging them to let me in. He didn't say, let me back in. Jesus stepped out of that church. They didn't boot him out. He stepped out. Why? He don't want that lukewarm witness. Remember 1 John? 1 John is very strong that the love of this world has no place with him, and that's where your knowledge of Christ keeps going array. So he's saying here to this church, lukewarm church, you better repent. In other words, he didn't give an altar to me. Repent. Quit putting material things before spiritual things. And so, can you guys see now how important it is to be a good witness to the Lord? Amen. To have a fervent witness? You know, when you read the Old Testament, I want to share with you. When you read the Old Testament, how many of you know, you and I, we can get excited about some evangelists that preach about some of the heroes of the Old Testament? Do you know what excites me? Is what they accomplished for God because they were burning and on fire. Did you know that? And here this whole army, including the sons of David. No, the brothers of David. Not the sons, the brothers. He went to give them a little lunch. In the meantime, beneath the surface, David and God were hooked up. I mean, God was already proving himself big in the sight of David. How many of you know that? And so this big mouth giant, Goliath, stands right before the entire nation of Israel and begins to mock them. And David, you know, he's got his little sack of lunches. And he goes up to his brothers. I'm going to paraphrase a lot of this. He hands him these lies, and all of a sudden he hears this one. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. I imagine David probably first of all looked at his brothers. How could you put up with this? And this guy keeps going on and on. Guess who the nation of Israel got to know immediately? They got to know a little redhead by the name of Casey Treat. I mean David. Think what you want to think. Casey Treat is on fire for God. No. So David, he goes, hey, what's wrong with all of you guys? You know what David was really doing? Bringing a rebuke to Saul. How can you let somebody defy the army of the living God? What a testimony. There ain't no other gods out there but one. And you're going to let this idiot defile the God whom we serve? We're an army? If David had his way about it, he'd say, listen, all of you, deny that you're the nation of Israel. Put your sword down and disappear. You're giving a bad witness. It bothered David. Well, he picked up five smooth stones in case he missed. Some Christians come up with that testimony. Look, you can't be in your right, you can't be in your carnal mind to face somebody like that with five smooth stones. Nowadays, we want AK-47s or something that'll bazooka the thing out of the way. No, what David had in mind was to take out Goliath and then start on the army. He was that convinced. And boy, we sit there and say, man, what a man of God. What if you were back there? Would you join the army? Would you join the nation of Israel in their witness? Or would you do a David? I know what you'd all do, knowing what you know now, and knowing the Bible, and it wasn't a race from your thinking, you were putting, every one of you would say, let's all get rocks. We'd be a rocky bunch. I know we would. How many of you know you would? I mean, if you got the story of David and how that stone went right for his forehead and he ran up and chopped his head off, how many of you and I, we would do that? How many of you believe you would do that? Hey, if you're here this morning and I've stepped on your toes and you're flat dead in the Lord, I got news for you. You'd still do that if you were taken back there. Because first of all, you'd wake up. What time machine did I step into? But it wouldn't deter you. Our environment sometimes is our worst testimony. We need to do something about it. It's true. Did you guys get something here this morning? We need to really think about our role modeling. Our role modeling. You know something? If I have a brother or sister who has a poor role model with me, that don't bother me. But with Jesus, that bothers me. Because we serve so great a salvation. Do you guys believe that? We serve so great a salvation. Our children are very important to us. The adults, your world is a completely different perspective than your children. Have you guys figured that out by now? Children think differently. A child, many of us don't realize this, but children, they are presently making their history. And I'm going to tell you, this child thing can reflect new converts, new believers, new friends, new fellowship. You can classify them in with the same. They're presently making their history. Where an adult, you have a history, whether it's good or bad. A child, he is presently living that history that he's in. But an adult, his mind has already adopted much of his mindset. A child, his mind is presently developing. His mindsets are presently being developed. Where an adult could possibly, but not all parents, are not even aware of their children's mindset presently being set. You have to deal with them. You have to talk with them. If you notice that their mindset is not correct, don't let it slip. Don't let it slip. Speak to them about it. I can truthfully say I'm happy with my children where they're at right now. I'm not happy with everything that some of them do, but I'm happy with where my children are at now. I'm proud of Lindsay and Tim. I'm really proud of you. Well, I'm really proud of Lindsay and Timmy. Proud of my children. I'm proud of my grandkids. I'm not proud of all they choose or say and do, but I'm proud of them. But sometimes God gets on my case of how I reflect things to them, and He always gets on my case through my wife's mouth. I told the Lord I'd rather have it directly from the Holy Ghost. And He says, I've given you as a helpmate to the Holy Ghost. Listen, never take the message of God's Word in condemnation, but take it as a means of correction. It'll make you wiser for it. Even though I'm proud of my kids, I know you're proud of yours. But that challenges you more to be a better witness. Amen. God's already dealing with me. He might as well deal with you. Stand up, everybody. Father, I thank You for the Word of God, and I thank You for the responsibility of being a good witness or role model for our friends, our family, our church, everyone around us. Father, if we're not what we should be, Father, then it's okay for You to come into my heart and convict me. I'm not going to abandon my convictions so that I can have my own way. But Father, I want to respond according to those convictions so that I am a good testimony to you. And I want to be found a good witness for the namesake of my Jesus. And so, Father, with everybody here, I pray that every one of us will adopt a good mindset for change so we can be good, beautiful role models. Father, if this word has struck its core into all of our hearts today, we're the better of it in Jesus' name. With every head bowed this morning, if you're here for the first time, and you have never given your heart and life to Jesus, you need to do it. This world is too uncertain outside the doors. And so we want to make it available for you to come forward today and receive Jesus as your Savior. And give the Lord an opportunity to reveal Himself to you so that you will bond to Him more and more and grow into a greater, greater testimony for His name's sake. So if you even question your salvation, please come forward and we will be glad to lead you to the Lord. And number two, if you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking other tongues, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and baptize you into that Spirit and give you the power to be the witness you need to be. And if you need physical healing in your body, I thank God we have the anointing residing on men and women in our body to pray for you. We would love to pray for you. You must first be willing to receive freely, and you will get the thing you need for your physical body freely. This requires somebody to lay hands on you. And when we dismiss the service, those of you that would be here for the first time or would like to come into the hospitality room back, feel free to go back there and somebody will lead you into the room. And I'll be right there. So with that said, Father, I thank you for the word this morning and I thank you for the wonderful people that have come. Father, I pray that the word of God will burn within their hearts to be obedient to it. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. With that said, you're dismissed.